Coming up on today's show,
music isn't everything, but music helps people cope. Music brings joy to people. And so if that's how I can like be a light to people and love on people, that's what I'm going to do.
I've been looking at the glass half empty, wondering why I don't see it half full. Wanting more when I've got plenty.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on location in Alabama at the 4th Lake Martin Songwriters Festival, my guest is a Nashville-based singer, songwriter, guitar player who just put out a 7-song release less than 3 weeks ago. She has been featured by Rolling Stone, NPR, CMT, and more, and her music has gotten over 650,000 streams on all platforms and been featured on Spotify and Apple Music playlists. So far this year, she had 3 songs featured in the film God's Country Song and had a music video debut on CMT. She has performed at notable venues, including the famous Bluebird Cafe up in Music City. You've been hearing a song of hers called Dandelions. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Reagan Stewart.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for making time to sit and talk with me today.
Yeah, anytime.
Let's jump right in and have you share with the audience all about the song of yours that was just playing called Dandelion, especially since I was talking over it and they couldn't hear the lyrics.
So I wrote Dandelions about 2 years ago. I wrote it with my producer, actually Justin Klump and Tori Touye. At the time, honestly, I was going through I feel like the music industry itself is kind of like a roller coaster of a ride. So I was going through the down part of that roller coaster and just kind of feeling like, is music what I'm supposed to be doing? Envious of others, kind of like lost on my path of creativity.
Wow.
And then my friend Justin threw out, he was like, hey, I have this idea called, you can pull them up or blow them out into the breeze. Wishes are weeds, wishes are weeds. And like he said, it's all how you look at life. Like you can look at it as a positive thing. You can look at your life as a negative thing. And I just really resonated in that moment with that. And so we wrote that song that day and I played it a while myself, like throughout the next couple weeks. And I was like, if I release another project, I for sure know that I want this song on that project. Fast forward like months later and December of last year, actually, I sat down with Justin and he was like, hey, if you ever put out Dandelions, I would really love to produce that. And I was like, well, I want to put out a whole project, so why don't you just produce the whole thing?
Wow.
And it'll be based around Dandelions because that song has gotten me through that down part and just kind of changed the way that I've been looking at life recently.
Yeah, as you were starting into all that, I was listening to hear, but how is she going to connect Dandelions to going through ups and downs of the music business in your career? And then as you started to say it, I had the light bulb moment, the aha, where I went, oh yeah, you could look at dandelions growing in your grass and you could say, doggone it, look at these dandelions all over the place, I got to get rid of these. And you're negative and you look at it as something bad, or you look and you say, my gosh, look at how pretty those look over there. And it doesn't matter that they're dandelions that some people are going to see as weeds. So the two of you did a tremendous job of, like you said, perspective and, you know, glass half full, glass half empty, and saying this very much mirrors what I've been living out. And I think it's important for people to hear that, because people see someone like yourself putting out a new release and all they see is the sexy side and the outside. Oh, a new release. Congratulations. Let's hear the music. And they don't realize that, yeah, I actually went through some struggles. And contradictory as it sounds, it's refreshing to hear someone admit and make themselves vulnerable and say, it's not always all sunshine and roses.
Yeah, it's not. But yeah, I feel like even like putting out that music for me, like hopefully that's meant some, I've had some sweet messages from people that have been like, this song has been, like I listened to this in my car and like started crying and I was like, this is where I'm at. And Even a girl that I write songs with in Nashville, the other day we had a write and we were sitting down, and before we started writing, she was like, hey, like, I listened to your project the other day. I really like it. But Dandelions, I re-listened to it in my car, and I was on my way to a show, and I started crying because I was like, this is like what I'm feeling right now. And it's so easy to compare yourself in Nashville. It's so easy to think about like what you don't have and like you want, like what you're chasing after, instead of just looking at what you have and being grateful. Like, God put me here for a reason right now, and I should just be grateful for like what today holds. So
is it a foregone conclusion that probably more people like you in the business are having those roller coaster rides than not?
Oh yeah. I think even like the people at the top of their game, like even the artists who you see selling out arenas, it's so easy in a career where you're trying to make a living out of like getting people's approval, and you're trying to make a career out of like wanting people to like you. It's so easy to go from like, am I good enough? Will they like this? Why don't people like me more? It's such an easy mindset. And also when you're chasing after such a big thing, making sure that you stay at that level of success, I think even the people who are making millions of dollars still feel that as well. So
yeah, I wish I could remember who it was. I heard somebody recently being interviewed talking about being a public speaker, and they focused on one person in the audience who just looked really disinterested, and the look on that audience member's face was really throwing them that, oh my gosh, this is bombing and it's not going over well. And so you're here to say, it sounds like, that you could be an A-lister and be on stage in a sold-out arena and be looking at the one person in the crowd going, why aren't they getting into the song? Do they not like the song? Do they not like me? Do they not want to be here? Yeah. Am I not that great?
When everybody else in the arena could be like, this is the best night of my life. These exactly. songs mean so much to me. Like, you've inspired me to like conquer the world kind of thing. So.
Exactly. Well, congratulations on your new release, which, as I mentioned in the intro, just came out less than 3 weeks ago, July 12th, to be exact. Tell us about that project. Where was it recorded? You started to mention who you worked with on it. A little bit more about the Wishes or Weeds concept, all those things.
Yeah. So Justin, who I wrote Dandelions with, Justin Klump, he's the guy who kind of produced the whole project for me. And we recorded at a studio in East Nashville called The Skinny Elephant, which is funny. I actually went to college with the engineer, Dylan. And so he produced the whole thing one day. We just kind of went in and tracked with different instruments. We tracked all seven songs and then worked on vocals in Justin's studio called The Woodshed for a long time. I sent a bunch of songs to I have a few people that I really trust with like their opinion on music. So my older brother is one. And then one of my best friends named Sierra. And then one of my co-writers named Colton, I really trust them with their opinions on what kind of songs are their favorite. And so I sent them all a bunch of songs and was like, these are the songs I relate to as an artist right now. These are the songs I'm considering putting out. Would you mind just kind of listening and telling me your top favorite, like seven?
Oh, did you send out more than seven?
I did. I sent out like 15, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's 15. Wow. So, And they were all songs that I loved that I was like, these all kind of are cohesive, have the same... They're what I'm going through right now. And so they all picked, and they all picked pretty much what I was like. There was like one or two that I was like, wow. But besides that, they were all the ones that I was like, okay, yeah, these are what I'm thinking. Wow. So I like recording a project all at once. I know at the moment, like Nashville is very big on, and even LA, very big on like recording one song, putting that out, recording one song. But I think it's cool to record all at once and making it like a cohesive project, branding wise, like color wise, but also like song wise and like the message of the project in general. So
a couple of follow-up questions are coming to mind as I'm listening to you. Number one is, if you had 15 songs that you sent out, how or why did you decide on seven as opposed to eight or 10, for example?
Yeah. Money wise was one. It's expensive to record an album, but also I feel like a lot of the songs had a similar message. Like there were a lot of songs about like wanting to be in a relationship and not being able to find my person yet. And so I was like, okay, I'll just go with one of those.
I see.
A lot of them were about like getting my heart broken by someone who decided they weren't interested in me. And so a lot were about like loss. I've lost a couple people recently. And so there were like two or three about loss. And so I was like, okay, this is my favorite song about loss that I feel like I resonate with the most. So I'll just cover all the bases like with one song per kind of topic.
But I've heard artists say that before, that, well, I had X amount of songs and I recorded this many of them. The other ones, I may put them on a future release, but I wonder, is it a case, Reagan, of by the time I'm ready to do my next project, I may not feel that way anymore, or I might be at a different place, both personally as well as a writer, as an artist, and like they were good songs. I would have put them on the album, but there's reasons that you just explained. And also, like, now I've moved on in personal and professional ways, and I'll just come up with all new ones.
I think, like, in the future, you could look back. Like, I think Miranda Lambert's done this. She's written songs before, and then years later, she goes back to listen to her catalog, and there's, like, one song that she's like, I really relate to this right now. At the time, it wasn't kind of the song that needed to be released, but, like, my style musically has gone this way. This is kind of, like, what I'm feeling right now. So she puts out, like, a song she wrote years ago.
Mm.
So I feel like you can come back around to it. I also, like, I know some people don't do this, but a lot of artists in town write a lot. Like, I write like 4 days a week, so there's a lot of songs that people don't hear.
Mm-hmm.
Which is honestly why I love like things like Martin Songwriters Festival. I love playing shows in town in Nashville, because when you play a writer's round, you can play songs that no one's heard, and that honestly, like, I might not put out as an artist, but like they're songs that I love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, because then people get to see different parts of you. So.
Well, and let's face it, if you write heartbreak songs, it might be therapeutic to write them. It might be, I got to get one of these out just to kind of have some closure. You don't want to revisit heartbreak again X amount of months or a year later.
That's
true. Like, come on, it's in the past. The other follow-up question I was thinking of back when I said I have a couple is, I always make the joke that you're required by music industry law to co-write in Nashville. Like, nobody ever writes by themselves. So these songs that we're talking about that are on Wishes or Weeds, are these all co-writes?
All co-writes, yeah.
When you're mentioning your producer, he co-writes with you, or you're bringing these to him that you've already written with other writers and he's quote-unquote just producing?
He co-writes with me, actually. I think the only song on my project that he wrote on was Dandelions. It was me, him, and Tori Touye. But that's the only one he wrote on. But we write a good bit, actually, so...
Okay. Okay. Let's pause the discussion about this new release and come back to it, because I think it's important first for the audience to get to know you, so that when we resume the conversation about Wishes or Weeds, they will have a more complete picture of the foundation that your music career has been built on. I realize there are going to be Reagan Stewart fans, followers, friends listening, but for the people who are kind enough to listen to this show each week from wherever in the world they are, and thank you ever so much, by the way, folks. Do some background setting for us, Reagan. For example, your inspiration growing up, who you listened to, those types of things.
Yeah, inspiration growing up, I like everything 90s country. So the Dixie Chicks, Jody Messina, Martina McBride, Trisha Yearwood. I feel like in the 90s, women were very different, like all individuals. They all had their own thing to say. They all looked different, sounded different. And like 90s country, I don't know, country music paved the way for them. And that music really inspired me growing up, and was what I mean, men too, but like Brooks and Dunn. I listened to a lot of Jason Aldean with my brothers growing up. So I feel like when you're young, those songs like impact you, and seeing people chase a dream, you're like, I want to do that. And then that sticks with you as you pursue it.
It's fitting that we're recording this interview on location in the place that we are, because even though I introduced you at the beginning as being based in Nashville, you're originally from very near to where we are today. Tell the audience where that is, as well as how you got to Music City. What influenced your move to Nashville?
Yeah, so I lived in Elk City, which is like honestly on the lake. I lived in Elk City until I was in second grade, and then I moved to Auburn, and I was raised in Auburn, Alabama. So I have people that I love in both of those parts. And then my mom is actually from Tallahassee, Alabama, which is right up the road. So my family lived there for a while. So I have people I love in all three parts. But yeah, I was raised in Auburn. I did a lot of music growing up in the sense of like church, but that was about it. I sang in choir, but I was never like the girl that would get the solo, that would sing it in front of the church. Mm-hmm. I was always like the tall girl in the back that sang alto. And I did sports growing up, and that was kind of like what I was doing because I was tall. And then when I was in the ninth grade, I actually decided, I just had this feeling. I was like, okay, I think sports are out for me. Mm. I'm not that good at basketball. I'm only good because I'm tall and now everyone's grown and I'm not good anymore.
I actually thought you were going to say volleyball.
Oh, no. I tried out for the volleyball team, did not make it. Yeah, I'm not that good. I was decent at softball, I'll say that. I used to pitch and like growing up. And then when I was in the ninth grade, I was like, this just isn't good for me. So I need to switch it up. And at the time, my junior high school was putting on High School Musical, the musical. Mm. And I loved the Disney movie. So I was like, I'm going to audition for this. And my family was like, what? What are you doing? And I auditioned and I was a cheerleader and a teacher. And I remember after that show, I was like, I love this. Mm. Like, I love performing. It's really fun. And I love to sing. I'm not the best, but at the time I was, you know, in my room, I was like loving music. I had CDs that I would like read the covers and I loved to write. I never connected the dots of like, I like to write. I like music. Mm. A songwriter is a job. No one ever told me that. I just was like, I like to write. So I would write papers in my room. I loved poems. I would write a journal. I started writing little tidbits of songs, not a full song. And so all of these different things were happening in my life. In high school, I started doing show choir. Anyways, music had started becoming a part of my life. In college, I did show choir at Mississippi State. And I went to a different college in Minnesota one year, my junior year of college. Music was still a part of my life, like in the sense of show choir, or like I would dabble at church. Still never thought that it was like a path. No one had ever told me that. And then I was interning at a radio station trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And
at a radio station where?
A radio station in Minneapolis. It was called K102.
Oh.
Every summer in college, I was like, okay, what am I going to do with my life? I know I like music. I know I like to write. So one summer I interned planning events for a city. One summer I worked at Niffers, actually, where I played last night. I just was like, okay, I want to use the gifts God gave me. How do I best do this? And so I was like, maybe I could work at a radio station, promote, because I can work in promotions. I like music. That's a cool job. So I interned there in college. And then the country station, K102, was having an artist come in to do her radio tour. And they were like, we need bodies in the room. You're at the pop station, but like, would you like to sit in and just like listen and get free pizza? I was like, for sure. Like free pizza all
day. You had me at free pizza.
Yeah. Anyway, she came in, she started telling the stories behind her songs and she would tell how she wrote it, who she wrote it with, why she wrote it. And she would sing. And I was just sitting there and I just had this moment and this feeling like, this is what I want to do. And how do I do this?
Wow.
After that, I was like, okay, I asked people if that's what I want to do, what do I do? And they said, move to Nashville.
Wow.
So
when you moved to Nashville, was it like, I don't know anybody here, but I'm told this is where I'm supposed to move? Or is it like, I knew a few.
So I went back, I graduated from college and then moved to Nashville. And I lived with a family friend for like a few months to figure out where I was going to live. And it was kind of just like starting fresh.
Mm.
I had to figure out like, what is co-writing? What is actually like the structure of a song?
Wow.
Because
wow.
I never, like, a lot of people grow up with this dream of like writing songs and being a star, and they like learn that off the bat. And I had never been like, okay, what's the structure of a song? Like, I need a verse, a chorus, a verse. Do I need a bridge? Like, do you always have to have that? Kind of like, what's the rhyme scheme? Just like all of that.
Wow.
My first few years were kind of like figuring that out, figuring out what's co-writing, just kind of like learning about the town.
When you were going through all that, did you... Because I'm seeing how someone could be in that situation and they could be embarrassed and say, I just have to quietly figure all this stuff out on my own through books, through websites, through reading as much as I can, or I can just go out there and admit to people, hey, I'm brand new at all this. Was there someone that took you under your wing and was happy to teach you all this? How did you find the reception to be when you were courageous enough to start telling people, I have no idea how any of this works? Was the town embracing you and saying, we'll show you, this is how it goes? Or is it like, hey, look, what are you doing here then? You know, go back to Alabama or somewhere and figure it out first and then come back.
I think what's cool about the town is there's like little pockets. So there's like the people who are like doing it full force, like the labels and the publishers and stuff. And then There's people who have been here 20, 30 years, but then there's people who moved here yesterday just like you did. And the whole kind of like thing about the town is like you rise with your people. That's kind of like what people tell you. So there's like no point in you walking up to someone who's been there 40 years, ask them to write a song. Mm-hmm. Because they're on a different stage of life than you. They're on a different path. But, and like maybe one day your paths cross, but the whole town is like you rise with your people. So there's open mics in town and writers rounds where I heard that this one place you could show up and you could sing a song at 11 if you just one song, if you show up at 11 o'clock and you put your name on a list. So I know I went to that and I sang one song and then the lady invited me back to play three at a different night.
Wow.
And then I met the people that I sang next to. And I was just like, okay, I need to meet every single person. So everyone that sang around me, they had moved there recently. They didn't know much. They were trying to figure it out too. So I think leaning on those people that also didn't know anything, and we kind of figured it out together. There was a lot of Googling as well. So,
So cool. Let's start to try to come back around now. We heard about whose music you were following when you were starting out, but what influences your music today?
I think today I watch a good bit of television, which gives me some ideas, probably more than I should. I like to listen to kind of like what's on the radio now in the sense of like what is popular, but also I like to listen to all sorts of music, which I think impacts country music in an interesting way. So I listen to a lot of pop music. Mm. I listen to a lot of Christian music, and I feel like every genre, it's good because it kind of like gives a little flair to you from a country perspective, but also just kind of like what I'm going through at the moment. Sometimes I'm writing and I come to a point where I'm like, okay, I need to go experience more life right now. I need things to write about. Mm. So I'll take time off of work and spend time with my friends, go out, go on trips. I make myself go on dates so I can have content.
Okay. So now back to Wishes or Weeds, your new release. How did the project come about? But also, you say that it has grown you as an artist. How so?
I think it's grown me in a couple ways. One being that Justin Klump, since we wrote together, we were pretty good friends, and I was very involved in the process of recording it. So I was there the day that we tracked the instruments, but every day he kind of like built on it. I got to be a part of that. And so I would come to the studio and he would be like tweaking things on his computer and asking me, okay, like, what do you think about this? Like, what instrument do you think like is missing here? Do you think that we need to do anything here? And it really like grew my mind in the sense of, okay, like production and like what instruments I like and what instruments I don't really like and how to like build up a song and just like the whole process of producing, the whole process of like, it's kind of like a puzzle. And being a part of that really taught me what I like and like built my sound as an artist even more so. And I feel like I also learned just that you just become more sold on who you are as an artist. So like I released a project a few years ago that I love, but I feel like some of it was me for sure. But then there were some songs I was like, I just think this is a great song. It's not necessarily what I'm going through at the moment. I think it's a great song. I'm going to put it out. Mm-hmm. Every song wasn't truly connected to me from an artist standpoint. It was more from like a songwriter standpoint. So it was cool to put out a project where every song on this project I was a part of writing, but also every song on this project is a part of me and a story that I've gone through and has, I probably shouldn't, but I can tell you exactly like the person that inspired that or this scenario that inspired that. And I think that that just makes me more relatable as an artist and has like grown me as one too.
Well, and I think when you're at something like the Lake Martin Songwriters Festival and you're performing these songs, it makes it so much more authentic when you've lived it and you wrote it and you have the emotion inside of you to really make these songs touch people even more than, like you say, a song that it's a great song. It's really, really well written. I can't really connect with it, but it's a really well-constructed song. I think the audience is going to subconsciously know that there's a little bit of disconnect there. Yes?
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I think even if you don't share exactly like why you wrote a song, it's very evident like based off of what your songs are about or just like how you perform the song. I don't know. You can tell when an artist is really like feeling it and when it's their true story.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Getting back to how this project came about. When you talked before about you had these 15 songs, were you writing with the intention of, okay, it's time to do another new project. I want to get X amount of songs done because I have this timetable in mind. I want to have something with approximately 7 songs. Or was it, no, I had just been doing so much writing that I had enough inventory accumulate that I took a step back and went, you know, maybe it's time for another release.
It was that. Yeah. I knew I wanted to put something out at some point, but I wasn't sure when. I'm not a huge planner in that sense of like having it all laid out. I was just writing songs, and then there were just some that I fell in love with, and I was like, this is my story. If anybody hears anything next from me, this should be, it should be these, because these are me right now. And I want to put them out soon, because I feel like as a songwriter, the more you write, especially if you write every day in Nashville, you hear the song so much that you're tired of hearing them by the time that, because recording is such a long process, by the time you record and it's been like 3 or 4 years or whatever time since you've written it, you've written better songs or you've written song, you know. So I was like, okay, I need to do this now before I change my mind.
But I admire your decision to not follow the trend of what a singles-driven industry it's turned into, and to not say, well, I like this one in particular. Let's just say Dandelions, for example. This is a great song I'm going to release. I like that you said, no, this is a real good representation of where I am right now, and all 15 of the songs, but we're just going to take 7, can really kind of put a nice bow on this period of my life personally and professionally, because I'm sure that you did make a conscious decision at some point to say, should I just do maybe one single every other month kind of thing?
Yeah, I did release a couple of those as singles because I think it's fun to promote one song. But ultimately, my goal was like, I know I want them to all kind of come out on a project, let it be cohesive. And I like how you said, like, let it be my story for this time of my life. It's kind of like a season of Reagan. So
I'm joined today on location in Alabama at the 4th Lake Martin Songwriters Festival by singer, songwriter, guitar player Reagan Stewart. Visit her official website at reaganstewart.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You have been hearing her talk about her new 7-song release called Wishes or Weeds. Buy it from Apple Music or other online digital music retailers. If you are or will be in Nashville, she has lots of shows coming up, including twice at the Bluebird Cafe, 3 times at the Listening Room Cafe. Get all the details from her website or follow her on Bands in Town, which you will find a link to on her website. Social media-wise, she is on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Look for links for all of those on reaganstewart.com, and do give her a follow on Spotify as well, but don't just stream her music. How can you get in touch with me? Well, while there are numerous social media logos at the bottom of the podcast website, nhte.net, plus I gave out the email address at the very start of this show, I would love for you to actually call me through the OWL app. Yes, actual voice calls, and without needing each other's cell phone number. OWL, like the bird except with 2 W's and 2 L's, is a social networking platform that connects people instantly through private one-on-one audio calls. You can ring me through there to talk about this podcast or podcasting in general or whatever I can help you with. Plus, you can make great connections fast by talking with people you want to get to meet, rather than typing back and forth with private messages that can drag a conversation out over days and days. I've said it before, the founder of the OWL app has referred to it as LinkedIn on steroids. On my podcast website, nhte.net, tap or click into the news section, and then look for the article in there under the headline, Help Now a Phone App Call Away. The OWL app is free to download, and I have links in that article to get it from the App Store or Google Play. Plus, I have my invitation code in that article because you will need that as you're setting up the app on your phone. It is a required field. Get on OWL and make valuable connections for your career. Reagan, before we get too far away from that list I just gave out for how and where people can find you, wow, you've got some great shows coming up. In fact, this episode of Now Hear This Entertainment is being released in the early morning of July 31st. Well, early morning, say Eastern time or Central time. But that night, you're going to be at the Bluebird Cafe. And then if that's not enough, there are other really notable performances soon thereafter, too.
Yeah, I also have two pretty big shows in the works, hopefully. So I'll get to tell people about those pretty soon. But yeah, the Bluebird has been super great to me along like my time in Nashville. And I've always wanted my own show there. And I get to have my own show there tonight on the 31st. So wow. It's me and three of my closest songwriter friends who've kind of been with me throughout the process of writing. And they're the nicest people in Nashville.
Do you want to shout them out and tell us who they are?
Becca Ray Green is one. She's one of my closest friends. She's an incredible songwriter and truly like one of the nicest people in town. One is Davis Corley, who I've known since I pretty much moved there 10 years ago and have written with him a good bit. Also one of the nicest people in Nashville. And then Connor Sweet, who's an incredible artist, and I've gotten to write a lot with him. And him and Becca Ray have a song on my project that they co-wrote with me, and they're some of my closest people, and I would trust them with anything. So I feel like those people should be the ones that share the Bluebird stage with me.
Wouldn't it be cool, audience, if she said, and then there's so-and-so, one of the meanest people in Nashville, really angry, but a great, great writer.
Yeah, but a great writer.
And the Listening Room, I've been both to the Bluebird and to the Listening Room, two great venues, and how fortunate that you're not only getting to play them multiple times, but in the space of like a month.
Yeah, just sometimes it happens like that. And I love the Listening Room because it brings a lot of people from out of town. And that and the Bluebird are two places in Nashville where people are quiet and they just want to hear the story and they're all there for the song. And it's fun to get to play your music for people like that who want to hear where it came from and support you while you play.
Speaking of performing, we are here in Alabama at the 4th Lake Martin Songwriters Festival. You played last night, you're playing today, you're playing tomorrow, you're sitting here with me now. You're keeping yourself busy here at this festival. Sure glad that you came, I bet.
Yeah, I'm super glad to be here. I've always wanted to be able to play close to home, and they have some really awesome songwriters playing this, so it's really an honor to be here and playing with those people. So,
is it safe to assume, based on what you're saying earlier, all the people that you have around, that when you're playing here at the festival, that there will be lots of Reagan Stewart family, friends coming to each of these shows?
Yeah, last night I had more people than I thought came, which is awesome. It's people that I haven't seen in like years, and people that had like knew me when I was 8 years old, and I haven't seen them since then, and they came and supported me, and it means a lot. I also had some family there, and a lot of my family hasn't ever seen me play a writer's round. So, and I've been doing it for 10 years. So it's fun to get to play your songs and for them to see how much you've grown as a writer, and them just to get to see you do what you love. So,
yeah, if you think of the bring your kid to work day or something like that, here's a case of like, we get to go to her work and watch what she does. I mean, it's not walking into the writer's room with you, but like you say, if they don't come to Nashville and see you at the Commodore, at the Listening Room, at wherever, this is the closest they're going to get to it, is seeing you do a writer's round right here in their backyard.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Songwriters festivals are great in the sense of kind of like letting people outside of Nashville kind of come into your world, because it is an odd and interesting world that most people don't understand. And when you see me playing and my family sees me and they know what I'm doing kind of because they hear stories from me. But then like last night I was sitting next to Marty Brown and like hearing, like, we're from the country and we like it that way. And they're like, wait, like, I know that song. And then you're like, he wrote that? Oh, that's crazy. And you're sitting next to him? Wow. Like, that's cool. So it's like a full circle moment.
Yeah,
so,
no doubt. But you were talking about the shows back up in Music City, though. What has Nashville taught you since moving there?
It's taught me a lot. I kind of have grown up there. So it's taught me more about myself and who I want to be, not only like as an artist, but a person. And Nashville is very relationship oriented. And so it's taught me like how I want to treat people and how I don't want to treat people. It's taught me that like patience is what the main thing that you need if you move to Nashville, because everything takes a long time. It's called a 10-year town. And I've been there 10 years. So everyone says, like, you just got to show up and at some point it'll happen. And so it's taught me that if I want it, I got to really want it. And I got to just show up every day and not worry about kind of like what happens. Just show up and write a song because I love it, and write a song because that's what I'm going through or because that's what my co-writer's going through. And then after that, like, that's all I can control. So just doing that, and then whatever happens, like, happens after that.
Now, audience, if I was doing this remotely, I would be at my recording rig, and while the guest was talking, I would be frantically typing into the world's largest search engine the quote I'm about to say. I do have my laptop in front of me right now as I'm talking to Reagan, but I want to be respectful and make eye contact with her and listen and not frantically do a search. So somebody look this up for me and email me, or just DM the at Now Hear This Entertainment Instagram account. You said it's a 10-year town, and there's a quote out there, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. I can't remember who said that. That's an assignment for the audience. Someone look that up and send it to me. But Reagan, when you said, I want you to clarify this for the audience, when you said it's a relationship town, I'm huge. I mean, you could tell I'm promoting the OWL app. I'm huge on networking, and I probably drive people nuts that I talk about the importance and the value of networking so much on this podcast, in the blog that I write every Monday. But I interpreted, because of who I am, that when you said it's a relationship town, meaning contacts, networking, business relationships, not it's important to have a significant other. Am I correct?
Correct. Yeah. It's all about, like, I feel like no one's going to meet you and be like, you're talented, you have a great voice, like, I want to make you a star. It's more so like, for instance, when you meet with a publisher in town, and a publishing company is where you get paid to write songs. That's your job. It's an advance, but a publisher is someone that works for them. And so a publisher, like, if you're taking meetings with one and you're like, I would really like to write for you, I'd like to be on your roster of writers. Anytime you take a meeting like that, people in town call it, it's like dating. Like, no one's going to just sign you off the bat. They meet with you a couple times. They get to know you. They see if they would work with you well. They set you up with their writers. They want to hear about your life, and they want to know, like, they want to put money behind you. You know, it's, they call it a dating process. And so it's all who you know at the end of the day, but you never know. Relationship town. Also, I mean, like, you could be working with someone right now. You might not work with them. Like, your contract might be up. You might not work with them again, but 10 years down the road, they might be at a different company. Mm. You work with them again. So relationships, in the sense of, like, be kind. You never know when you might run into that person.
Well, but also that meeting that you're having with the publisher, you might have gotten that meeting to begin with because you know so-and-so. Or
oh, for sure.
You might be
for sure.
In that meeting, and all of a sudden someone's name happens to come up, and the publisher looks at you and says, "What, Reagan, you know so-and-so?" And you go, "Yeah, why?" And all of a sudden, like, it's a total game changer, and the meeting just accelerates so much faster because it is those relationships that are so valuable.
Or even relationships, like, I played a show with someone recently who is really good friends with Luke Combs, and he gets a lot of songs cut by Luke Combs. That's a relationship thing. A lot of times, if people say they write in squads in Nashville, people have, like, their crew of folks that they tend to write with a lot. And when people in your crew all get deals, it's very likely that you also will get a deal because all of your friends get deals, and it's kind of like you move up together. So, I mean, that's also relational. So it's relational in different ways. It's just kind of how you look at it. So
whether it's the live performances that we've been talking about, or whether it's your new release or previous releases, what do you hope that people take away from listening to your music?
I hope that they relate in their own way, that they find, like, a tidbit of a song that I've released that really, like, they resonate with, and it helps them out in whatever form or fashion that is best for them. I'd like to think of my music as, like, chill, very, like, easy listening music that maybe you wouldn't, like, rock your face off to, but, like, you would listen to in your car with the windows down, and it would just, like, put you in a good mood. And that's kind of, like, what I hope my music does. Kind of, like, takes you out of whatever thing you're thinking about that's, like, bothering you, and it just kind of, like, reminds you, you know, that, like, life should be full of joy, and, you know, life's short, so just enjoy it.
And I think that that's a good explanation, because I don't want people to get hung up on you saying heartbreak that you are going through, or thinking they're going to be depressed by listening to your songs. Because number one, if it's relatable and they say, gosh, I went through this too, well, great. But it's also, no, I want to be an inspiration. I want to lift people up. And you want them to get to that point in their day where they go, oh gosh, I got to put on some Reagan Stewart right now.
Yeah, that would be awesome, actually.
That they know what they can expect that to do for them. Or, you know, I got to go see her perform.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, come see me anytime.
Well, and I love all of this, too, because I think it'd be very easy, just like when we talked about at the beginning of, I want to fill stadiums and arenas and do sold-out shows of that nature. I think if you ask certain artists, what do you hope that people will take away from listening to your music? They're say, well, I hope they'll buy my catalog and they'll stream my music and they'll tell all their friends and they'll follow me on the socials. And it's like, well, yeah, but here's Reagan Stewart who just finished talking about relationships. And I think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, I think you're trying to build a relationship with your audience and the rest of that just follows. Like, of course, if they start connecting with my music, sure. Yeah, they'll follow me on the socials and sure, they'll come and see some of my show, whatever the case is.
Yeah. That's kind of like the definition of how I look at life, honestly, is like building relationships with other people and kind of like the point of why God put me here. So I feel like that's my outlook on life. That's my outlook in music, is like, I just want to build relationships with people, get to know them. And if music and my music helps you along the way, awesome. If it doesn't, like, that's okay. Cause like, it's meant for certain people, like whoever it's meant for, but yeah, I think that's how I look at life too. So,
well, and you and I are just meeting each other for the first time, but you don't strike me as someone really superficial that is going to say, what do I want my music to do? I want it to sell millions and I want to be, you know, at the top of the charts. And
I would like that too.
Well, of course. But in other words, that's not who you are as a person. That the very first thing I want it to do is drive people to take their wallet out. In other words.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Well, because at the end of the day, like, I'm going to die, and this sounds very morbid, but at the end of the day, like, there's that quote that people say where, at the end of the day, people remember how you made them feel. They don't remember what you did for them, and it's so true. Like, the relationships that really matter to me are the people that stick their neck out for me, that are there in the hard times, and I don't know. I just think, like, music isn't everything, but music helps people cope. Music brings joy to people, and so if that's how I can like be a light to people and love on people, that's what I'm going to do. So,
yeah. If you were to leave the earth tomorrow, you'd rather that you touched people with your music instead of them saying, boy, I sure am glad that I bought that Reagan Stewart shirt.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay. That's totally true.
As your career has unfolded, as everything you're doing has evolved, how has the meaning of success changed for you? And for that matter, what are your goals for the future?
When I first moved to Nashville, my dream was just like, do I want to do this? Let me figure out if I want to write songs. How does this work? Turned into like, I want to be the next like Taylor Swift. That would be awesome. Like play stadium shows. That was like 2 or 3 years in. Like, that's what I want to do. That's awesome. Now my level or my definition of success has turned into like, I want to do music full time. I want it to pay the bills. I want to be able to like impact people's lives. I want to play live shows with a full band and just get to like be creative, because I feel like I've been given the gift to be creative. So I just want to do that and let people be a part of that process, however that looks. I still have goals. Like, yeah, I would love to play the Grand Ole Opry one day. I think that that's like one of my biggest goals right now, is just like trying to figure out how to have my Grand Ole Opry debut, if you know somebody. But that's probably my biggest goal. That I would love to open up for someone on tour and go on a tour where I get to just like open up for an artist that's been doing it for a while, so I can see like how they go about doing it, kind of like what their process is. I mean, it becomes ingrained in artists that have been doing it a long time and they're really talented at it. So I would really love to learn from someone doing that. But besides that, just get to do music full time and do what I love. So, yeah.
Do you do music full time?
Yeah, I do music full time, but I have a part-time job as a server in Nashville. I work there like 3 days a week just to like, you know, supplement income, because doing art for a living is difficult. And I feel like Nashville, one thing that people don't know about songwriters is that the songwriting life, there's never a moment where you take a breath and you're like, okay, I've succeeded. I like make enough money to like support myself. I feel like there's a few people that have that job, like people who've had multiple number ones, but there are still people who've had like one or two number ones who are still grinding every day writing songs. Some of those people still have a part-time job. You don't do music because you want to make a lot of money. I'll tell you that. You do music because you love it. So
I like getting back to your goals for the future. I like that you have the perspective of opening up for somebody would give me the opportunity to learn, go behind the scenes, use it as an educational thing, as opposed to, again, it gets back to having your own personal infrastructure where your ego's in check. And some people that would say, I want to open up for so-and-so because I want to take their place. I want to be the A-lister. And lots of guests have come on the show and talked about lots of people that they've opened up for. And there's instances where they never even meet the headliner. Mm-hmm. So I think it is more realistic to say, well, of course, yeah, I'd love to be the headliner someday. But I also know that first I need to get on those stages and see what it's like to play in front of a huge amphitheater crowd, for example, and also learn about back of house, catering, the call times, all those things that you don't really get to experience when you are. And don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
The writers' rounds in Nashville are phenomenal, but you're not going to get the same experience doing a writer's round at the Commodore that you are opening up in Kansas for Luke Combs.
So true. And I feel like the people that are doing those huge stadium tours, like even if it's like a theater show, like there are artists that you hear about that like do it and people don't have the best experience. And then there are artists who do it that you hear incredible things about them and how they really take care of their staff and the people that are on the road with them. And you hear incredible stories about those artists and they've been doing it for so long because they do it right. So I would love to get to experience that and see, you know, what are the things that they do right and how do they take care of their people so well.
Audience, I did an interview. I'm going to put a link on the show page for Reagan's episode on NHTE.net with Dozot St. Marie. They are a duo act that are out of LA, but they play all over. They just came through Orlando a few weeks ago, and I went over to see them perform and to say hello and reconnect and stuff. And they told some great stories about that they've been opening for REO Speedwagon on the regular. They've been opening for Rick Springfield on the regular. And we're talking about exactly what you're saying, Reagan, about the way they were treated and that the crew embraced them and invited them along. We're going to dinner. This is the time. This is the restaurant, et cetera, et cetera. So there are very much different experiences out there. Like I said, all the way down to, well, I opened for so-and-so, never even saw them, but, you know, at least I got to be in front of his or her fans.
Yeah.
And there's still those benefits. But, yeah, what a difference it could make. We're going to close with another one of Reagan's original songs, one called Love and Texas. Reagan, before I let you go and I play that track, share with the audience first all about this one, if you would, please.
Yeah, I wrote Love and Texas with two writers in town, Scott Stepakoff and Will Bowen, and I had this idea called Love in Texas. I walked in the room and I was like, oh, I've never been to Texas and I've never been in love. So I think this will be a good title. Got the idea during COVID. Me and my roommate were like, we should date right now. We have nothing else to do. So I was like, I'm going to reach out to everyone that I've had a crush on recently. And I reached out to this guy that lived in Texas and we started messaging and he was like, you've never been to Texas. And I was like, no. And I was like, gosh, I should write a song about that. So I wrote it down in my notes and then I brought it to that co-writing session the next year. And yeah, it turned into a really good song. I really like it. It's just about experiencing new things and sticking your neck out and being okay with being spontaneous and never having done something, but being excited to try new things.
I like that you wrote about something that you have not experienced, because I think usually as an artist, you might get a song that someone else wrote where you go, I like this song. I kind of wish I'd written it myself, but I like the song itself. And you will say something like, can't really connect with it personally because I never experienced it. But there are so many songs. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of great music that comes out of Texas. But so to say, I've never been there, but I'm going to write a song about that. It's very kind of contradictory to, I guess I can only write about things that I've experienced, places that I have gone mm-hmm. to. And so Texas of all places. And I was listening earlier on as you talked about being in Alabama and being in, I think you said Mississippi and mm-hmm. Minnesota and Nashville. And I'm going, now, wait a minute. Nowhere in there is she saying Texas. How is it that I know at the end of the show we're going to play a song called Love in Texas and she's never lived there? So this is really cool that you're saying, no, I didn't, but.
Yeah, and I've traveled a lot. And for some reason, I don't know why I've never been to Texas. It's like I've been to a lot of states and countries. And for some reason, Texas has never been on my it's been on my list, but I've never been. But now all my friends that live in Texas or from there are like, well, you're going. And I'm exactly. like, they're like, it's all, you know, Texas people love Texas. So they're like, we're taking you to Texas. So I will go at some point.
Yeah, I mean, not to mention trying to get that song on Texas radio, contacting venues and leading with that. I have a song called Love in Texas, and I also think I'd be a great fit because XYZ, I think the writing's clearly on the wall. And when you follow Reagan online, audience, eventually you're going to see her starting to post, I'm finally making my Texas debut, and my song is being played on this station there, and I'm going to be playing at this venue there. So very cool. We've kind of come full circle here on location in Alabama, but it was great to meet you. Thank you so much for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. With that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, guitar player Reagan Stewart. Do visit her official website at reaganstewart.com. As I said before, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You have heard her talk all about her new 7-song release, Wishes or Weeds. Support Reagan by purchasing that from Apple Music or other online digital music retailers. You heard her talk about all the opportunities you will have to go see her live after she leaves the festival here in Alabama. If you are or will be in Nashville, she will be at the Bluebird Cafe twice and 3 times at the Listening Room Cafe. Get all the details from her website or follow her on Bands in Town, which you will find a link to on her website. Social media-wise, she is on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Look for links for all those on reaganstewart.com, and do give her a follow on Spotify as well. For that matter, let Reagan know that you heard her and her music on Now Hear This Entertainment. Reagan is going to sit and watch me do this closing just so she can vouch for the fact that I really do say it live each and every week. It's not something pre-recorded that just gets dropped in at the end of each episode to make you think I was saying it. I do truly hope that you like the show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Reagan and I, and I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, 10 and a half years without missing once by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 546. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Reagan Stewart. This is the one she just talked about. It's called Love and Texas.
You gave me a yellow rose I stuck behind my ear. I've never felt quite like this, never been west of here. But I hear it's pretty there. Once you go, you won't come back. We could get there with our eyes closed. Just keep telling me that, 'cause I've never been in